This meeting is now being recorded.
Hi, it's Jonathan. I've just gone live on audio.
Hey, Jonathan, it's Grace. And we've got Holly and Sharon in the room, as well as Liz.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. We'll just wait a moment and see if either Greg and or Martin joins us, and then we can work our way through the agenda, start the recording and work our way through the agenda. Hi, Sidley. It's a while since we've spoken with either Holly or Sharon, so hi to both of you.
Good to hear your voice, John.
Likewise. Hopefully we've got a reasonable agenda here and we can work through this relatively straightforwardly. So I suggest we just give it a couple of minutes, literally till 2 or 3 minutes past the hour, and then we'll get things going.
Sounds good.
I guess I might as well make a couple of remarks on the agenda. It's probably self-evident, but you are obviously in process on the dependencies for the CWG, so we'd like to look at that and just talk with you about, you know, how you see that going, any concerns you might have there. I think you've got an earlier note from Grace about, you know, the timescales and trying to get this done. I think our target is to try and get it out by the end of today, I think it is. We'll talk about that. When we last spoke, when you presented the bylaws to the CWG, we talked about actually taking a different approach. And so I think that's probably the meat and the sandwich of this meeting, is just talking with you in a little more detail about how that might work and if that's all okay.
Terrific.
And then as far as point three is concerned, we've had discussions with ICAO and their proposals on implementation, and we wanted to let you know their intentions and plans and see if you had any concerns with that or felt a need to provide any specific input, and so we can touch on that as well. Hi, Greg, welcome. I just took a brief tour over the agenda so that we'd given Holly and Sharon a sense of what we were hoping to achieve on the meeting. Greg, can you just confirm you've got audio?
Hi, it's Greg.
Hey, Greg. It's Jonathan. I've just done a very brief informal walkthrough of the scope of the agenda while we waited for you to join, just to bring Holly and Sharon up to speed. And I think we're good to go now that you've joined us.
Great.
Okay, so let's go straight on to the CWG dependencies. Our understanding there is, yeah, thank you. Actually, let's just put a header on the meeting. So, Grace, maybe you can just announce the header for the meeting since the recording started.
Hi, everyone. So the recording has started. This is the 17th Client Committee meeting on December 10th at 1703 UTC.
Thanks, Grace. All right, so we have an agenda of 4 items in front of us that you'll see before you. I sent this to the Client Committee mailing list earlier, so it's on record, and our intention is to deal with the CWG dependencies, work on the ICAN bylaws pertaining to the work of the CWG, and to look at a detail on the proposed implementation of PTI, specifically the legal work related to that. So we record, we've got Greg Shatan, myself, and Lisa Furr present from the Client Committee. Martin sends his apologies. I've got Holly Gregory and Sharon Flanagan from Sidley on, and Brenda Brewer and Grace Mohammed from Star. Right, so the item one deals with the CWG dependencies and Sidley's work on that, where you are assisting us to scope out and make sure that the proposal as it currently stands meets our requirements. Our intention is to submit something formal to the public consultation process, which ends on 21 December, as far as I recall, that essentially confirms or not that it meets our requirements. So let me hand straight over to probably you, Holly, but you or Sharon, whoever's intending to speak to this. give us an update and any issues that you've got or concerns.
So we have the comment letter in the works and are hoping, our plan is to get it to you today. As you know, there was a significant change between the second draft proposal and the third draft proposal in terms of the model that's being used. So they've moved from a membership model to a designator model. And by action of California law, someone who is a designator cannot be given the entire span of rights that a member can be given. And that means that some of the powers that CWG has contemplated will now be subject to indirect rather than direct enforcement. And by indirect enforcement, we mean you will have that very coercive power to remove directors and to even remove the full board should the board ignore a community effort to reject, for example, a budget or a strategic plan. Now, in my view, as a governance professional, I think that that's a very deficient power, a very coercive means, and I think that that's where the CCWG came out in adopting the designator model rather than the membership model. But CWG will have to make a determination if that indirect enforcement is sufficient. My recommendation would be that you do find it sufficient. There are some other, so that's the biggest change in the models and how it impacts CWG conditions. Do you agree with that, Sharon?
Yeah, I do, Holly.
So then as you drill down, you'll see that there are little places where some of the detail and some, including some of the comment that you included in your second draft comment letter, hasn't quite been addressed. There's nothing that's too egregious, but the letter will certainly walk through all of that. I'm trying to pull up our draft of the letter, Sharon.
Yeah, I can, Holly,
walk through that.
Holly, I could just weigh in on a couple of examples that are,
one
is just coming in from the last, we made the same comment on the last proposal, and that is the IRP process and ensuring that it also addresses actions or inactions by PTI. You may recall that was one of the few places on the last comment letter where CWG noted that it did not fully meet the CWG final proposal. So that is still there. And then there are some more nuanced points around budget. Some of the specificity that CWG has requested on budget is not present in the third CCWG proposal, but I think that's more of a nuanced point and probably could be fairly readily addressed. Other than that, I think it's largely consistent with the last comment letter, other than what, as Holly mentioned, the enforcement is a different mechanism, but ultimately gets you to the same place.
In our judgment.
In our judgment.
Okay. Well, that's helpful. One of the things that immediately strikes me is actually, I think, rather than this being relayed via us, of course, it will be great to get the letter as you intend the draft later today, and we will circulate that to the CWG. But it does strike me that it will be very helpful to have you participate, at least one of you, if one of you can be available to participate in our meeting on Tuesday next week. So we should flag with you when that is to present this particular for the outcome of this work and possibly even initial indicator of the bylaws. But clearly, this is the urgent task, and to discuss these points or take questions or issues on these points. Are there any other comments or questions on this from Greg or Lisa? Feel free to come in. Greg, go ahead.
I would only say, as a participant in the CCWG process as well, that I agree with what Holly and Sharon have said, and would support the positions that they've recommended.
I would like to add one other thing, Jonathan, and I think we need to have a little bit of a tone of this in the comment letter. And I'm in a bit of an awkward position because, as you know, I advise both groups. But I have concerns around the process that the CCWG uses, that sometimes they treat all comments sort of the same, and therefore comments can get lost when there's a lot of them. I think there needs to be a tone in this letter that attention needs to be paid to these issues. Where you've provided comments before, you should at least ask for some sort of explanation for if comments are not to be addressed, why they're not being addressed.
Actually, Holly, that's a very helpful point, and I'm I think that that would be very useful. In fact, it's I've heard a similar concern expressed elsewhere, so I think it would be useful if indeed we have made the comment, I think it'd be useful to both, as I think you were saying, indicate that we have made the comment before, and in the event that the CWG elects not to respond to it, or possibly in any event, it would be useful to know how this the comment has been processed or dealt with.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We will add language to that. I want a little bit of that tone. The last tone was all about how wonderfully cooperative everybody's been. I think it's time to have a little tone that says your condition, the CWG conditions are conditions. And, you know, and therefore they need to be addressed. So we will add a little bit of that tone, and then I probably will come out harsher than you want, and then you can soften it.
This is Greg. I would actually go even maybe a step further in terms of tone or framing this, which is that, you know, while this is being submitted, you know, through the public comment process and during the public comment period, it in essence it's really not a public comment. It is part of the working method and requirements of the CWG and the CCWG. And this document should be viewed in that context.
Greg, that's a great point. Would you, and you just stated it so beautifully. Could you shoot me a sentence?
Sure.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's a really good point, and thank you, Greg, for making that so effectively and eloquently. I think that the key here is that actually we said as a belts and braces, or as you say in the United States, belts and suspenders, approach, we were going to submit our comments to the CCWG, and it's really our analysis of whether the conditionality is met. We would communicate those to the chairs, to the chartering organizations, and through the public comment of the CCWG, but it has a status that is different. And so, Greg, thank you for reminding us of that. That is helpful. This is not simply a response to the public comment. It is an initial indication to the chartering organizations of whether or not the conditionality is met, and it is a communication direct to the CCWG that is copied for the record onto the public comment. Lisa, go ahead.
Thank you, Jonathan. I must say I'm not sure I agree with the specific tone you want to put in this. Because we've been in quite close contact with the CCWG on if they fulfill our requirements. So I think it kind of has hit back to ourselves. So I would be a little careful with how we state if there's something that's not been addressed, because I think we have some responsibility too in addressing this if it wasn't properly taken care of by the CCWG. That's one. Another one is that, yes, it's not just a public comment that's equal to others, but it's a fine line between going in and saying that we can overrule everything and that our comments are special. So I would say that we need to tread carefully here. So I agree with the principle, but I think it's a delicate thing we need to express in a delicate way. Thank you.
So, Elise, this is Holly, and I agree that it's very delicate. And better your first point in a moment. As to the things that are sort of missing, the things that are the comments where we have concerns where they haven't fully, is not because, in my mind, the CCWG has discussed it and decided to go another way. It's sometimes because it's a level of detail that while in some drafts and discussions they went into, they pulled back in the drafting a level of detail. And I think it's a way of, so I don't think that these are issues where there's really any disagreement. I think it's more, you know, saying clearly, no, we really need to see that there's a focus on this point that you really haven't quite focused in on yet. And that it, that there is a commitment to it. So, so it's not that we're saying our comments should override someone else's comments. I'm saying our comments shouldn't be lost in the noise of so many comments and treated just like any other comment where someone has an idea that says, oh, you should pay a little more attention to this. Here, I think CWG's comments in this area do rise to a different level than anybody, you know, just an individual throwing in lots and lots of comments on the, in the comment page. But I would like a better understanding of your first point that CWG bears some responsibility for this. We're pointing out issues that CWG pointed out in its, either pointed out in its comment letter on the second draft, or because of the change to the new model and the redrafting, are not addressed in this draft. So I'm not sure how CWG bears responsibility for that.
Okay, I could make a stab at that, but I won't. I'll let Lisa come in, and then if it, go ahead, Lisa, and let's see.
Yeah, it's just that we have had a close cooperation with the CCWG chairs, and the first the draft we said that was actually accommodating our requirements. It needed a few twitches, and they asked us, "Does this now fulfill your requirements?" And I don't, but it might have changed again in this draft. I don't know. But it's just that I think we have a responsibility to oversee the work continuously, and maybe we have not been following this closely enough. So that's where I find that we need to, we need to not go too hard on them if something is missing, but of course, if it's missing, it needs to be there. Thank you.
So, it's Jonathan. I think we can, I don't think there's a contradiction here. I mean, in essence, Lisa, your concern is that we've been meeting regularly with the chairs, and your concern is that we ambush them with something quite dramatic that we could have or should have communicated via another channel. I don't think that's what's at play here. I think our intention is potentially to just make sure that things are done thoroughly and properly, and that the CCWG work is complete in all respects. So I hope and expect that we're not about to ambush them with something that they find difficult to deal with. Rather, as Holly says, it's about dotting the I's and crossing the T's fully with the report. And it can be covered by a non-material revision or update to the report. I mean, I suppose the practical point is, do our comments necessitate some kind of change in the process? And I don't think that's the, you know, or alteration to the timing, therefore, and I don't think that's the case. Let me let you respond, Greg, and then anyone else, by all means, come in.
Thanks. Greg Shatton again. I think, you know, first, you know, in hindsight 2020, maybe there should have been a formal CWG liaison to the CCWG, whose kind of only job was to monitor dependencies and conditionalities and requirements of the CWG, and that was essentially their brief. We didn't quite have that. I could have done that, but I wasn't, looking at it solely through those glasses. But in any case, hindsight is 20/20. And furthermore, I'd say that while there's, cooperation at the chair level is essential, that the CCWG, perhaps even more than the CWG, kind of has a mind of its own, and not everything, gets shaped perfectly by the chairs. And lastly, to the extent that anything we have, any concerns that we have are interstitial, that are things that can be dealt with in the implementation that are not inconsistent with the report, I think there's no issue with presenting them. Indeed, this is a policy level report, and there's a lot of implementation left for the accountability group to do. So anything that's essentially an implementation note, I don't think ruffles any feathers or points any fingers or shows any failure in working methods. If there is language that needs to be changed in the proposal, even that, especially given how the proposal was kind of shaped up and shipped out under far less than ideal circumstances, even then I don't think there's anything we don't have to take a tone that's rough, and maybe we need to just see what the document looks like. But in any case, this is all being offered in the spirit of cooperation. At the same time, unless we go back to at the CWG level and change our requirements, we don't have a lot of flexibility in whether they're met. We have some flexibility in judging how they're met, but they need to be met. So I don't think, this doesn't need to be seen as some sort of, tough talk document, but we do need to just be very substantive in dealing with, any gaps, especially any gaps where we might say that, essentially at the end of the day, we have to say we either agree and approve a recommendation or don't approve a recommendation, because something within that recommendation is inconsistent and can't be made consistent through implementation. And really the third answer, which is one we've discussed a lot on the accountability call, is at this point, is we can support this recommendation if the following changes are made. And I think from our point of view, we are different in a lot of ways from any other commenter, including that, our conditions are ones that have been agreed to by the community. And not by just any, one stakeholder group. And so that in a sense is, we can do this, and it's all being done in the spirit of cooperation and coordination to meet the community's needs. Thanks.
And if I may, I just want to make sure that we're not overstating what the areas are. There are relatively minor areas where something that CWG said in describing what it wanted isn't addressed. It may be that when CWG sees those areas, they are so minor that they don't matter. So I please don't, we're not throwing, this is not a, I don't think this is a big deal. I think this is, we're talking about making sure that you're aware of what the differences are. That's our job as lawyers, to make sure our client is informed. You may decide that these things are very minor and don't really matter, and that you're fine with the proposal. We need to point them out to you. So I just want to be very clear about that. So in terms of tone, I think we should take a gentle tone, but a tone that indicates that these comments are important. And then as you see it in draft, you can determine that you may want to decide that none of this matters.
Thanks, Holly. I think, and thanks, Greg, before you, I think we have enough now to work between now and when you produce that. I'll just say one other thing, just that the point that Greg made I thought was useful, that to the extent that you are writing something and you feel that it could, that it needs to be, or that we want to give an indication that this needs to be really modified in the proposal or dealt with in implementation, I think that might be a useful pointer to give in any changes we seek, you know, because we might want to assert something needs to be done, but we're comfortable with it being done undertaken in implementation, or assert that it needs to be dealt with and it's necessary that it's dealt with as part of the proposal. But you're right, let's not over-egg this, and let's move on to the next area on the agenda. Is everyone, I'll assume that unless you raise a hand, Greg, you've got an old hand there. If there's any other points, please do raise them. Otherwise, I suggest we go on to the bylaws work now and just have a make sure that the scope and understanding of what's intended there. And just as a reminder, Sidley, you gave us a good presentation and a walkthrough, although time was a little tight, but not ridiculously tight, of a sort of high-level view of the bylaws work that you had done and the series of questions and issues that were raised by that for the CWG to deal with. We are staffed to compile that, ICANN staff to compile that into a table form so that we can systematically work through it. But at the same time, we recognized that those bylaws, or we felt that those bylaws as drafted were too voluminous and substantial in that form, and we were seeking from you an alternative presentation of them such that they could be just stripped back to being without losing the key effect, but were less weighty. And so I'm not sure where you are in the execution of that request and what, if anything, you need from us on that. I think our feeling was that you would probably still need answers to many of those questions, but in redrafting them, you may not need answers to all of those. So we've suspended our work on dealing with all of those subject to the redrafting. Let me hand over to you for an update and see where we go from there.
Can I, Holly, before you speak, can I just speak to the process point? So, yes, we did have that call where some concern was expressed about the detail. We, as far as we understand it, we've not been instructed to do anything other than that CWG was going to consider what it wanted with respect to the bylaws. So if there is a project to be done, we should talk about that. And then, Holly, I'll leave it now to you to talk about that.
That's what I was going to say. So we have not been doing anything because we've been waiting to hear from CWG on instructions. We do need CWG to answer those questions. We think that it may be helpful to have a longer call with more time for us to really walk through that that chart that we provided to you. I know that to non-lawyers it can seem daunting, but there is a method to the madness. Rather than get engaged right now in a project in trying to skinny down the bylaws, we think it's better to answer the questions so that we have a full vision of what is sought, and then at the end of the exercise, determine what goes into bylaws and what goes into a policy. That said, I think it's really important to understand that we're creating a legal document that's designed, and our role is to help design it, to ensure that it clearly and concisely addresses issues that will be important to implementing and enforcing the vision that CWG had. And that takes a lot of detail. We agree that it doesn't all have to be in the bylaws. Some of it can be in policies. But if it's important detail, it will have to be in policies that have the same rigor around protections against change that the community doesn't have a role in that the bylaws have. So, because the concept is that most of this would have been some sort of, or some of it, fundamental bylaws. So, it's a long way of saying, Jonathan, that I think the most efficient way of working is not to try to start stripping out detail now, but instead to get agreement on the detail to the extent we can, so that we can really draft something, whether it's in the bylaws, whether it's in the policies, is a issue to determine later in the stage, not early in the stage.
Okay, so thank you both. And first of all, apologies for the way I conveyed it at the outset. We haven't instructed you. It was our intention to discuss it with you and potentially instruct you here. So actually, the purpose of this discussion is to have the preliminary discussion, which we are having effectively now, and so that's useful. I guess the question then is well, what I'm hearing is that you would like us to deal with that range of questions that have been posed in any event or issues raised in the what I'll call the current long draft, and on that basis then we need to discuss with you how this might how the draft might be reorganized. So it
depends. And what we wanted to propose, I mean, we've short time to go through what's a very complicated issue. We do think that this may be something that you don't need the full CWG on, that there could be some kind of working group or tasked with working with us to at least preliminarily go through the document. It would be helpful to have people who have a level of either legal expertise or sophisticated experience with bylaws to do this, so that we're not spending an inordinate amount of time on education. I mean, that's, I'm being very frank, Jonathan, one of the struggles in this project and one of the reasons the bills go so high is we have to spend so much time on educating and redirecting away from rat holes and, you know, I can see that we could easily get into that if we have to get answers to all of those questions from the full group in a consensus process.
Okay, well, that's helpful because we have clearly a balanced responsibility here between ensuring we, you know, are thorough enough to include the right level of detail, but are not so we don't overdo it such that we run up unnecessary bills. So that's helpful to know, and that's useful. What about, but you feel, just to clarify, you feel that, I mean, our initial idea was to make a first pass at answering all of those questions or issues raised in the long draft, in the initial draft, ourselves. Is it your sense that we should actually try and do that more collaboratively rather than come back to you with our first attempt? You would rather sort of walk through them with an appropriate subgroup?
Well, the, I guess the question for you, Jonathan, I'm trying to understand sort of from the outside looking in, is one of the concerns about the fact that there's this lengthy document to deal with, is that now you've got to take a group of people through this lengthy document to get them to answer some core questions. And so if that was part of the concern, I thought, you know, with Sharon's excellent skills of communication, if she had a little bit more time and could actually facilitate the discussion of each of those items, she could help explain why it's important, what maybe on some of them you might be interested in the lawyer's recommendation, although I know that's not how bottoms-up works. I mean, when we're getting into these details, it may be useful to have the lawyers make a recommendation on some of these points. And so, whether that's done in a big group or a small group, being a way to help efficiently get to sort of movement. What we don't want, and I don't think you want either, is to open up a CWG deliberation on each of these points. They're not things that should be deserved of that kind of, you know, effort. This is really about implementing, and if we've got a group of thoughtful people who understood what the CWG was trying to do, I would think they could provide us with some good guidance.
Okay, that's very helpful. I'm conscious Greg's waiting in line, but just one other point before going to Greg, and that is that, yes, you're right, the length was exactly as you expressed. There, well, in the sense that there was a lot of, we wanted to find an and efficient and effective way of going through and answering the detail points. But there was another one as well, and I think looking at it just intuitively, if you like, I got the feeling that the group thought, my goodness, this is a lot of volume to put in bylaws. Is it necessary that all of this goes into the bylaws? So that's a second and related point on the length of document. But I think you touched on that earlier in saying that elements of it could be put into policy. But I think those are the two pieces of work. It's really what can be stripped out and put in a related document without reducing the impact, and second, how can we most effectively answer all of the relevant questions that you have.
Right, and on that first question about what can be stripped out, again, we think that that's easier and more efficiently addressed once we've answered the questions and once we've got a description of legally and from a policy perspective, how is this going to work? We can put detail in other places so long as the critical and important detail is protected. Because, again, what you don't want to do is come up with a bare-bones set of bylaws at this point that requires community approval to change, but put key aspects of how it's going to function into some kind of document that the community doesn't have some influence when board, management, or staff want to make changes to.
Okay, got it.
So I'd like to leave that issue until we sort of lock down how we think this is going to work from a legal perspective, and if we can get that right, what document it goes into is end game.
Okay, great. So that's helpful. That's a key watershed to have got past, and that helps us. It seems there's an action on us to come back to you with a smaller group rather than the whole CWG who can work with you in a focused and effective way. Greg, I've kept you waiting a while, so let me let you make whatever point you would like to at this point.
Thank you, Jonathan. Greg Chatton. We're doing something similar in the CCWG with what we're calling an implementation oversight team, or maybe an implementation direction information oversight team, for which the acronym is IDIOT. So the IDIOT team is going to oversee kind of the legal drafting and implementation of the IRP changes to the arbitral body and rules. And it was similarly constituted, asking for those with legal experience or at least experience working with governance and bylaws and reading legal output and understanding the role of bylaws in governance, so that it could be a fairly expert team, but at the same time not just limiting it to lawyers or especially common law trained lawyers. That can seem a little reductive. So I think that model makes sense. I would use a similar model. It's not far off the client committee concept, in a sense. And obviously it can be transparent and the like, but the actual recourse and dialogue should be with that relatively small group. And I think we ended up with about 7 or 8 people on the team, and each person had to put together a couple of paragraphs and a kind of expression of interest and statement of relevance. So that choices could be made, and we did seek some balance to make sure it was not just a bunch of primarily North American lawyers. I think ultimately we managed to get some volunteers, but it required some outreach, or at least some explicit pointing out that hey, we have no one from Africa, we have no one from Asia. That's not ideal in terms of the optics of getting this done, I would basically suggest that we adopt that. I think the CCWG will probably adopt a similar approach to its bylaws oversight work. So I think you know, it all, you know, makes sense to me. And I agree, too, that the issue of whether what goes in the bylaws and what goes into ancillary documents is one that'll be much better answered after we have everything, have a lot more down on paper. I think as such, we should make sure that we have somebody involved who is knowledgeable about how kind of ICANN has organized its bylaws versus things like GNSO operating procedures and the like, and what has been kind of put off into secondary documents, you know, taking the point clearly that we need to watch what goes where so that the scheme of who can change what doesn't get undermined. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Craig. So it strikes me that we do need to do some work. We may want to do some work before meeting with Sidley and try and get those that get the low-hanging fruit out the way, and as we had intended to do, and it is a useful conversation to guide us on that. We can come up. I'll chat with Lisa, and we can come up with some thoughts as to how we get a small, effective team out of the CWG that can help with this if necessary, and we can still keep it in full view of the whole CWG. I feel there's a way we can deal with that without making it, the group too large or clumsy. We've clearly got to do a good job of working with ICANN implementation staff as well as Sidley to get this part of the implementation right. Holly, did you want to come in?
I just ask that if we do a smaller group, we really take advantage of the efficiency that smaller can bring. This project is so much more complicated than it needs to be, and largely that's because of the number of voices involved. We've got agreement now on from the community on the CWG proposal. We're talking about the fine-tuned legal points. I really hope we can avoid the kind of deliberation that we had to do to get to the big concept proposal on each of these points. I think, and one of the things that I'm concerned about is I don't see a lot of evidence from my CCWG experience that people are able to self-edit and know when it makes sense to get out of the weeds. So I'm just putting that out there because I know you're concerned about the legal bills. We're concerned about the amount of time that we have to spend wheel spinning. It doesn't feel good for us when we feel like we're spinning wheels because of the process by which decisions are made. And, you know, I just encourage, I'm going to be frank, I am not thrilled with the size of the group and the process for the IRP. I would like to have three or four really smart, knowledgeable people that we can bounce some things off with the CCWG always having the ability, once we deliver it, to say, no, that's not what we meant.
Thanks,
but
Holly,
in any event.
Yeah, that experience is welcome, and we can work with that. I think that gives us good guidance, and we can work well with that to provide you with the relevant expertise without going too wide. Sorry, I cut across you there a little. I thought you'd finished. Please do go.
No, I think... I think that's fine. I just want to, you know, I hate to disagree with Greg because I just greatly respect him, but, you know, I'm dealing with a whole set of concerns on that other project, and I am just beginning the bylaw drafting contemplation there. So, you know, there's a part of us that love to, you know, we love to go into a dark cave and draft the thing, and we need some direction from you to go do that. Then we'll bring you back something that you can tear apart and say, no, I didn't quite get it, and why did you do this, and we can help explain it. But if we have to do a lot of iterations through the whole process, this is just going to be, you know, as expensive as getting to the proposal was. And I really don't think it should be. You know, if we have, you know, I think Sharon and the team working on those bylaws have put forward some pretty clear questions that shouldn't be hard to answer. And with a little bit of discussion, it's the kind of thing, you know, a three-hour conference call with a set of knowledgeable people should be able to come up with, and then we're done. And we can move on and draft and maybe come back when we have a question, but not like a big clunky process. That's what I'm asking.
Holly, that guidance is helpful and clear, and I'll work with Lisa and the group to get you the resources you need to get the answers you require and to try and keep this tight. We want to demonstrate that we can do that, so we'll work with you to do that. Greg, I think that might be a new hand off to Holly, so go ahead.
Just briefly, I would say that actually I do agree with Holly, so we're not disagreeing with each other, and I think that, you know, even with the 8 or so people, it'll be a little bit of a challenge, although I think the vast majority kind of fit the bill of, you know, being kind of a, you know, qualified individuals, and that was what was being looked for. So, you know, I think we can balance, you know, the various needs. And I think that, you know, this does need to be viewed as an implementation-level situation. So, it, you know, in ICANN land, implementation does fall more into the hands of the those doing the implementation, which in this case really is Sidley. And the reason it's, you know, called an oversight team is so it hopefully will function in, you know, more in an oversight function and not require us to kind of slog through together. And, you know, clearly, you know, we should make sure from the beginning that whatever we do in the CWG is designed that way, because I take your point, Holly, and including how it impacts the legal bills. It's kind of like going on a hike and being forced to follow the dog on the hike, and the dog always walks twice as far as any of the humans. And unfortunately, that's kind of what happens here, and that doubles the bills in many ways because you're following the dog. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. All right, so I think we understand each other there, and we'll work hard to get that in shape and talk with the group about that on Tuesday, and we'll come back to you, Sydney, with a response to that. But in essence, our plan will be to get your questions answered, work with you to refine any that we either can't answer or need your to collaborate with you to do so, get a further refinement, and then ultimately shape the document. So I think we understand that process better, and that was the purpose of this conversation, so that's useful. On the next one then, let's keep us going on to the next one, which is the ICANN implementation of PTI. ICANN has a full implementation plan that you may or may not have seen. There is a project management team under the operations group working on executing the implementation of all of the CWG recommendations, and that includes the setup and legal incorporation of PTI and various other legally related points, as I've put in the agenda item there, on things like drafting the articles and the bylaws and so on. One area that they're being very careful of, and rightly so, is that there are constraints on what can and can't be done ahead of the transition being agreed. So there's a line to walk there between preparing for implementation and actually implementing the work. But nevertheless, the plan is as and when it becomes appropriate to undertake that implementation. So I guess the question here really was to both give you that information and check with you what, if any, advice or input, advice you'd like to give us in respect to that, or input you'd like to have, or whether you just want to note that at this stage and say keep us posted. So over to you, Holly.
So as I understand it, what we're talking about is the group that at some point someone has to create PTI, create the legal entity, do the articles and bylaws. And I understand that in the first instance, the proposal is that will be ICANN legal. And that's fine with us. Our only, you know, note is you may at some point want us to review it all to make sure that we think it meets the CWG specifications.
And can I just weigh in on that too? I think, and I'm also totally fine with ICANN legal doing the drafting there. I think on that, the one caution I would have is that the PTI, you know, we form subsidiaries all the time, and they, you know, you use short form, you know, 3-page articles, 3-page bylaws, very, very simple. In this case, you know, PTI is really fundamental to the entire model that's been created by CWG, and so those articles and bylaws are critical, and they will need to be very, very carefully vetted and reviewed by us. I don't mind if someone else wants to draft in the first instance, but there are a lot of parts of that if it's not done in detail and correctly, the model will not work. And so that would be my one word of caution, is to not treat it overly as a simple, you know, just put together some forms. It's not that simple. And so we will definitely want to take a very close look at what's produced.
Thanks, Sharon. And that is precisely why we are raising this with you now. It's for exactly that reason. We don't take it that this is in any sense an off-the-shelf entity that can be constructed and just we appreciate that. But nevertheless, it's very useful to have you emphasize that, and we will remain reminded of that. So as that the work to implement goes ahead, we will need your help in, I guess it's not dissimilar, although it's more legal than the framework, it's not dissimilar to the approach we're taking to the CCWG, where, and it may be that we want to talk to ICANN about, it feels to me like, thinking about this off the top of my head, what we probably want is almost like a heads of terms or some kind of, but there may be an interim step here, rather than you being delivered a final package. Here's the entity, here's the bylaws, here's the articles, here's whatever else goes with it. How does that look? It may be that there's some form of interim step here that we need to look at.
Yeah, and I would say, Jonathan, on that, it'd be my preference. I didn't want to overly dictate process to them, but it would be my preference that they approach it the way we approach the first cut at the ICANN bylaws, which is first the matrix, first the table showing here are the things we think need to be there, and then get down to the drafting. The drafting takes a lot of time, and if you don't agree on the principles, it's just wasted effort. And there are some things, frankly, on PTI that I have in my head that need to be done, and they may not even realize they need to be done because I think, probably closer to the CWG model than they might be in some respects. So I would like to see if it's possible a matrix like we prepared before they get to the detailed drafting.
Okay, thanks. That's helpful. So, Grace, if we could capture that there's an action there to propose back to ICANN Legal that they approach this in a sort of mirror image of the way in which the bylaws have been drafted, that it goes through the stages of principles, and then draft, and then further refinement. I think that makes a lot of sense to make everyone's work effective. Greg?
I just briefly agree entirely with what Holly and Sharon have said, that, you know, while we could, you know, you can form a corporation in a day. You know, you have one of your associates act as the initial incorporator, and you pull, you know, standard off-the-shelf bylaws and articles together, and you end up with a shelf corporation, essentially. You know, that's, you know, forming an empty and generic shell is not the real assignment here. Forming the unique entity that is PTI, which is an integral part of the entire system we've set up, is the real job. And that needs to be approached, you know, completely as a substantive exercise under the, you know, with the CWG taking the same role as it would take with the bylaws. So, you know, if there's any idea that ICANN has any other idea of that, then that they need to be disabused of that, because it's, you know, it's clear that the how PTI functions is determinant in many ways of the success or failure of our entire exercise. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Greg. It's a point Sharon's made in the chat. If Grace, if we could just say that Sydney will need to review the PTI bylaws and then the action really deals with that properly. The second bullet under item 3. Thanks. All right, we're tight for time. So I know, Greg, you've got to run a DTIP. I'll call in just a moment. So any other business that hasn't been dealt with now? I think it's certainly been useful to, when we've covered off the key points. I hope we've captured them in the notes and actions. Any other points or business? Holly, Sharon, if you could withdraw your hand if you don't intend to speak. Greg, you seem to have a new hand up again.
Yes, just briefly, as you mentioned, DTIPR is moving along, and you know, we may need to come back to Sidley for some legal advice and, you know, another kind of legal voice about trademarks and best practices and their functionality. It's a little bit of a challenging group to lead. It's small, and only about 3 members other than myself have anything to say at all, and at least one of them, if not more, of those who are very vocal has a very particular viewpoint and goal in mind, which is makes the process difficult. So I guess I would just say watch this space, and that this will be on the Tuesday agenda along with the document. So I don't know if that means that Josh Hoffheimer should be on the Tuesday call, but we at least kind of alert him that there's going to be some activity coming up shortly on this point.
Okay, thanks, Greg. Well, I mean, as you know, we need to make sure that the work is, any work is instructed through the CWG and done in that way. But certainly, I think given what we've requested already in respect of the dependencies work, we would like to have Sidley deal with, be on hand to deal with questions and issues arising from that. I don't think we'll be talking with you about the bylaws at the next meeting. And we do need to understand if DTIPR will need external legal work. So that's important. And giving a heads up on that is no bad thing. All right. So I think we better call the meeting to an end so that you can get on to the next call, Greg. I'll try and join you with DTIPR now. Thanks, Sidley and Sharon and Holly. That's helpful. And obviously, thanks, Greg and Lisa as well. So I think we've covered what we need to for the moment. All right, we can stop the recording and call the meeting to a close.
Thank you, Jonathan. Thanks,
Thank you.
Lise.
Bye.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye, all.
Bye.